We thank God for our bishop. We thank God for his continuous healing. We thank God for his obedience, for his wisdom, that you're teaching us how to be wise, how to understand that we are not Superman. We are not saviors either. You preach it and you demonstrate it. To God be the glory. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for gathering us together, Lord God, to feed as a family. Let your word speak for you this morning, my God. Help me, Lord God, to decrease and you increase in me, Father God. We know, Lord God, that you have a word, Father God, for each and every single one of us today. Help us, Father God, that in our spirit, Father, that we will yield and be teachable so that your word, Father God, can bring forth fruit in us in the name of Jesus Christ. Almighty God, we pray that healing, Father God, will take place, Father God, even at your word today, Father. That somebody, Lord God, will claim their place in your word today, Father God. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that your word, Father God, will even make a shift, Father God, in our situation. Many of us are seeking, Father. Many of us, Lord God, are seeking for answers, Lord. May your word, Father God, confirm. May it speak today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm always grateful. Maybe not in my flesh, but in my spirit. For every opportunity I get to be up here. Especially at this very, very moment. But I thank God that he is merciful. He gave me a message last Sunday. And now that I have an opportunity, yes, it was about the sheep. And that message still speaks to me today. And I don't believe I've had a succession of preaching where I have a part one and part two, but this will be a part two. I say that because it's not because of the short time that I had to prepare, but for the fact that I know that there was so much more to cover and there's still so much more even after this, because there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ. There's a lot of confusion, you know, with us just as individuals. There's identity crisis. A lot of times that's why we see, you know, people that confess Christ but are not in position.
Yes.
And so we will continue from where we picked up the last time. I'll try not to regurgitate, but as the Spirit leads me, let God just have his way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We came out from Psalm 100, if you want to go back there. We came out from Psalm 100 when we read the whole psalm. It's not very long, so if you were not here, don't be afraid. It's not a very long psalm. It's just too powerful of a psalm. This psalm is a call to come and worship the Lord. It's an exaltation, an acknowledgement of God's nature and his eminence. It's a call to us to understand that God is our guide and our protector, and we owe him all honor and glory. But most of all, it shows us that God is mighty. Not only is he mighty, he chose us. He didn't have to. But he chose us, and he said that we are his people, and he likened us to sheep in his pasture. And so I'm going to pick up from I'm just going to do verses 1 and 3, 1 to 3. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Here it is now, the key scripture. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We are his people. I said we are his people. He says, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Yes. That's the word of God.
Yes.
That's the word of God.
Yes.
For those that were not here last Sunday, I kind of started off talking about, you know, a contrast that I made between a lion and a sheep.
Yes.
I said that if we were to choose, I know that being a sheep is not that exciting or not that glamorous. Hello?
Yes.
I know that. You know, most people will choose to be a lion. You don't want to be the one eating. You will choose to be the one eating something. Amen? But we know that, you know, a lion, even though it's glamorous, it's very attractive. Like I said, it's an exciting animal, very powerful. Hello? Lion, I love watching my wife and I, you know, whenever we could, I wish we can do more. We watch wildlife. We love watching lions. You know, their life is just so interesting, how God made them. And you know, not just lions, you know, many of God's creatures, many of God's animals that you watch. It's just amazing to me, Bishop, how they capture in film all those things about these wild animals. And so we've come to experience that the lion is very agile, is very powerful. It has a very brutal force, you know, very, very hard to match in the wild. You know, the lions, they are the hunters, of course. They're very self-sufficient. And that is all by design. That's how God made them, you know. And we watch how lions rise to power, you know, rise to the, you know, alpha of the pride.
Yes. Yes.
And we also watch how quickly they can come down,
yes,
because of challenges. And you have to constantly be challenged, and you have to constantly prove your dominance.
Yes.
But when you look at a sheep, there you have it. You know, you just say sheep and people start laughing, you know, because it's a prey animal.
Yes.
It's a very vulnerable animal.
Yes.
You know, you're going from the wild to domesticated, from lion to sheep,
mm-hmm,
you know. But one thing I want to point out, like I did the last Sunday, is that the innate nature of the sheep to follow.
Yes.
They don't, you know, come out like the lion with the chest out and the mane and everything, you know. They don't come out like that. You know, they're careful. They have a very keen sense of hearing and sight. You know, they need all this because of their vulnerability. And so by the instinct, they follow. The following for sheep is just like I said, there's no thought to it. There's no thought method. That's just who they are. You know, they follow whether it's to good direction or bad direction. You know, whether it's into danger or safety, they will follow the first one that moves. Sometimes it's not the dominant one. Usually it might be. But in this case, it might be the first one that, you know, thought he saw something and that's it, stampede. And I went back, you know, to do some more studies and I actually watched a video, Bishop, of a stampede. A stampede of a sheep, a sheep stampede. The person recording was actually standing in the middle of them. And so they were not running very fast. I actually saw a couple of videos, and in one of them, there was a mother that even stopped to graze. I don't know if it stopped because the little one stopped, and they joined back the stampede. Where do you see that? You know? But it was a stampede. I'm not sure what started it. And last Sunday I said, you know, it might be something as common as just a hare, a bunny, you know, just any wrong move. Anyway, and we learned last Sunday that because of their vulnerability, you know, the way they were made, They have no defense mechanism.
Right.
We learned last Sunday that what they do, because they are grazers, because they are flocking animals, their best defense is to huddle. Someone was paying attention. It's to huddle. And in huddling, they're just wishing that you pick the other person and not them. But all these things that we laugh about, all these things that make them unappealing to us and even unattractive to us to be, are the qualifying attributes that really God saw in them and likened us as human beings to sheep. Because for the number one thing, they're very good followers. They follow well. And to be a Christian, you can't imagine just, you know, being the pastor of the church. How about a pack of lions, Bishop? You know? Goats, camel, stubborn camels. You've talked about camels before. Spitting, sitting down in the middle of the service and refusing to move. Just like they do in traffic. You know, we laugh at all these things, but, you know, God saw something, you know. God saw something, and even the sheep saw something. The sheep knows that, you know, whether it's by domestication, that they are very, very likely to attach themselves to something that they feel, or whoever they feel comfortable with. They're very food-oriented. You carry that bucket of food and they will follow you anywhere. And so that is part of their instinct. But a lion wanders. A lion, like I said, is prime. A lion is built for survival. He's built for hunting. That's just who the lion is. And last Sunday I made a joke about, you know, how about it, you know, can you imagine what it would be like if a lion was just following you? You're leading a lion, and he's following you. Sister Tanya turned around. You know, that will not be a very pretty picture. Neither will it be a pretty picture now if we begin to wonder what it will look like for a sheep to just be out in the wild by itself. It's a cringing thought. But when you look around these chairs, there are some sheep that are out there right now. They are without their shepherd. They're not feeding today. I'm not saying everybody here doesn't have excuse, but come on now. And it's not just happening in this church. A sheep, they are grazers. And they have to constantly feed. That's the difference between a sheep and a lion can go days, even weeks without eating. There's a difference. But sometimes we tend to get out of our own identity and try to become something we're not. We just went through this and saw how God, by design, made sheep dependent. And the opposite is the case for a lion. And so when we have this confusion, when we have this identity crisis, we wonder why and how these things happened the way they did. I want you to understand that a lion just wanders about looking for opportunity. This is where we say, good luck, lion. Because he may or may not find. But for a sheep is guaranteed a meal no matter what. When he's under the shepherd. But food is not just the only need that a sheep has because of the way they are. Sheep needs to be stress-free. That's really what comes next after food for sheep. Some of the things that may cause stress is anxiety to sheep. You know, things that disturb the norm for them. They don't know how to handle that. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why they need to hear the voice of a shepherd, because the voice of a shepherd is trained, like we said last Sunday, to just go through with them whatever situation they're going through. They are vocalizations for just, you know, being calm, being normal, just reassuring. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. That's from practice. It doesn't just happen. But when you talk about all the things that stress a sheep out, it can be friction within relationships. Sometimes there's order. Sometimes, you know, there's feeding order. You know, if you're not in order, you have to wait your turn. You have to be butted out of the best place to graze. You know? And that can cause stress to the sheep. Sometimes it can be health issues that is bothering the sheep. They're susceptible to diseases. Because like we mentioned before, like we mentioned last Sunday, it is up to the shepherd to know when to move them from where they're grazing so they don't, you know, begin to eat where they're defecating. That's the word I'm looking for. And that can bring on diseases upon them, parasites can breed. That's just how it is for us. Sometimes, you know, it has to take the word of God, the man of God, the visions from God, for us to know that it's time for us to move from where we are because it's becoming toxic. Amen. Whether it's the environment, whether it's the people, hello? Yeah. It is the shepherd's responsibility to look over the sheep. But the sheep, by nature, knows how to trust the shepherd because the sheep is not equipped to buck up to the sheep, up to the shepherd. It's not going to challenge that authority. Remember sheep and the rod? They comfort him. That's just so unlike the lion. That's the difference. That's why that parallel is so exact, and we have to begin to rejoice that we are sheep. Because if we don't have those qualities, if we do not have those qualities, you may not even be sitting where you're sitting this moment. You may not even have the direction that you're supposed to have in your life. You may not know where to go to feed. You may not know what to do with your children that you have responsibility over. But when you learn that you have a need, when you learn that you need assistance, somebody to lead you, then all you can do is humble yourself. And that's really where this message is going today. Understanding who we are and accepting who we are. So why not sheep? That's really the title of my message. Why not sheep? A sheep has learned through, again, domestication to trust all their needs and all their wants in the hands of the shepherd. That's why Psalm 23 tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not be in any want. Somewhere down there, he tells us also, he says that goodness and mercies shall do what? The sheep is walking ahead. The shepherd is following them. That's goodness and mercy. Because everything good will come. Because in his mercy, he will not abandon them. He is the good. We're talking about the good shepherd now. Because he says we are sheep in his pasture. When you look at 1 Peter 5 and 8, if you want to go there, it's a very familiar scripture. First Peter 5 and 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, I ask you to look around these chairs. I know that we usually don't fill them, but some of them are empty. Some of them has a pattern now of being empty. But as a sheep, we cannot afford to be out there just because we see others out there. We cannot afford that. That's dangerous for a sheep. We cannot be out there without feeding the way we're supposed to. We cannot just go and get our own food because it's dangerous out there. One of the first things that's very scripture says is, it says that be sober. It's talking about your mind. It's talking about coming to grips, to terms. Because it's very, very important, Bishop, when we come to grips and understand what we're dealing with. I'm a sheep. I'm not a lion. That's the first thing right there. It says be sober in your mind, in your thinking. Sometimes we get carried away. We get carried away because we have not been around. Because sometimes we have kind of strayed away. And I'm going to get a little more in detail about that part. Be sober and understand that the Lord is what? My shepherd. I'm not my shepherd. I'm just a sheep. Sometimes I tell my wife, I'm just a man. That's when I'm trying to make some excuse. I'm just a sheep. But when you understand from last Sunday, like I mentioned, when you understand that you are a sheep, that's a humble position to take, knowing that you have a shepherd that provides for you. So that when all is going well, when that goodness and mercy is following you, you don't think you're doing it all by yourself. You don't get carried away. You have to be sober-minded. He said, be vigilant. Even before I get into the vigilant part, the first thing that somebody might think when they see be sober is, I don't drink. We're not talking about the love portion, the devil's love portion here. That's not what we're talking about. You know, sometimes we can get drunk with pride. There's a lot of drunkenness, things that can come to cloud our minds. One of them is pride. And that's what I've been trying to explain, understanding who you are, the sheep, and understand that you don't provide for yourself. That apart from God, you are nothing. That's what the Word of God tells us, and that's the truth. That is the truth. You have to be sober so that when the devil starts dangling the trimmings of the world, when you look over there and you see what people are doing and you're not able to do those things. When you talk about the speed and the agility of the lion, the ferocious power that it has, you see him chomping on that steak. It might become desiring to you. That grass suddenly is boring. Hello? And that's how we get out of position. We begin to chase the things that are not our own. The things that is not even supposed to satisfy us. They look good, and that's all there is to it. They just look good. It's not for us. That's not what we're supposed to be feeding on. Are we getting somewhere right now? And so the envy of the world and its trimmings can be something that can cause us not to be sober anymore, to lose our focus. And then it says, be vigilant. That vigilance is really the key weapon of the enemy, because it comes in subtle ways. When things begin to happen, when a lot of times when he begins to dismantle and steal and kill and destroy the things of God, it doesn't just happen instantly. It starts little by little. One excuse. Little excuse, then bigger excuse. Hello? One day, 2 days, or one Sunday, 2 Sundays, It's really easy to stop. It's really easy to get out of your pattern. But it's so hard to get back on it. Has anybody tried that? So he's saying to be vigilant. Be vigilant about similar things, familiar things that may look like it, but they're not really the real thing. You know, run for the cure on Sunday. You know, children's practice on Sunday. You know, shopping trips on Sunday. Big old sale on Sunday. Those are distractions. Those are familiar things. He says we have to be vigilant because if we don't take time, we may buy into it because they've come to deceive us. They've come to be stumbling blocks that the enemy used to dangle in our face. The devil will not tempt you with something you don't like. It has to be those familiar things that he knows that he can use and say, okay, here's God. Here's this. Which one are you going to choose? Oh, you can always get back to God. Be vigilant. It also says to be comfortable in your own skin. If you are a sheep, be comfortable as a sheep. Hello? He said, because your adversary, that word adversary is opponent. That means there's somebody, there's forces, there's a legion out there totally devoted in countering whatever God is doing in your life. The opposite is in opposition. Because he says that the adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking, is seeking. He's plotting, he's calculating. That's what they do when we watch those animals, when we watch the lion and the pride and how they hunt. They're very calculating. And I learned from watching all that that their biggest weapon is really in their mind is isolation. They're looking for that weak one. They're looking for that one that is not very well fed, that one that is not coming to church as they're supposed to. The one that is not praying. They're looking for that one that is showing signs of weakness.
Yes.
All right.
Dick and Jimmy, learning about sheep, I learned that sheep has a very, very high tolerance to pain. Very high tolerance. You know why? Because they don't want to be identified as weak. They don't want to be the one picked out. So they have a very high threshold for pain. And sometimes, you know, we can just sit here. But we are not even feeding. We can sit here. But we've developed such a threshold. And the callus is building up in our hearts. That we leave empty the way we came in. And when we're out there, we become weak. We don't see it, but the one that is watching us knows. And so it's just easy to pick one out. Isolation. Isolation. That's why, again, when you think about a sheep that is out there, a Christian that is not in church, a Christian that doesn't have a shepherd, an overseer. That's what that word shepherd is, overseer.
Yes.
The one that is put charge over you to lead you and to guide you. When you don't have one, it's a cringe-worthy feeling. It's like watching those shows and you see maybe a deer, you know, just lapping water, just prancing around, and you're cringing, oh, because, you know, they show you the lion just waiting,
yeah.
Waiting. That's what it's like for anyone out there by themselves. But the shepherd, God is so amazing. God is so amazing. There's a tribe in North Africa, they're nomads. They're herders, they're cattle herders. We don't carry sheep and cattle in 18-wheelers back home. You can walk from here to New York with your herd.
Yes.
And these tribes, not from Nigeria, the Maasai, I believe. I may be mistaken, but it's a North African tribe that are herdsmen. And God, in his amazement and wonder, built them so tall. They're usually very extraordinarily tall. All of them. Why? So they can see the power of God. They can see far. They can see danger. And they have those slings. And they're so good with those things that they can defend their herd from pretty much anything and everything. You Google YouTube and you will actually, there's one that one of them confronted a lion. They stole meat from lion. Google it. Anyway, we are not lions. We are sheep. A sheep is prone to wander away. They're prone to wander. And as they are prone to wander, they're very likely unable to find their way back. A sheep always needs help. And that's why God saw us as sheep. God saw that we cannot do for ourselves, so he sent his only begotten son to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So that when we are not in Christ, when we wander off, when we fail to see our way back, even his Holy Spirit comes to us. Couple of scriptures that I want to go through. Matthew 5:5, you don't have to go there. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This particular scripture, it actually from New Testament, goes back to Old Testament in Psalm 37:11 that reads, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. If you have been following what I'm saying here, I've been talking about how sheep can be stressed. We as human beings, one of the main things that the devil is after is our peace. He wants to harass us. He wants to do a lot of things to rob our peace. And so I'm going to read this again. It says, but the meek shall inherit. It didn't say the meek shall work for the earth. He'll give it to us. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
There are so many things in the wild, like I mentioned last Sunday, that robs the sheep of their peace. I mentioned flies is one of the main ones. Different kinds of flies. They have ones that just follow them around, just buzzing. And it can have no peace while he's shaking his head, stomping the feet, trying to run away. They just strut, really. That's why he said he anoints my head with oil. Some of the flies lay eggs and they turn into larva that, you know, go in there, bury themselves, and they start sucking. Sometimes we carry parasites. Sometimes we carry things that suck life out of us. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations. If we don't have a shepherd, if we are not in Christ, if we are not praying, that will just be the end of us, because it can be really fatal, some of those parasites, some of the diseases that they cause to the sheep. It can even cause infertility. It can cause malnutrition. It's not good for them. And so he says in Psalm 23:3, that's why he says, he restoreth my soul. The sheep's soul needs to be restored. You just don't understand. A sheep has no defense. A sheep has such a keen sense of hearing. It can pick up noise, but there's really not much it can do about those noise. It makes you tense. It brings on anxiety. There are so many things that are challenging us. So many things that we see. So many things that we hear. They come to wage war in our minds. But the Word of God, through the people of God, can restore us, can give us the peace that we need. When we begin to feed on that word, when we begin to speak that word over ourselves. That's why he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You have to ask yourself, what does that mean? He doesn't have to prove himself. But that proof is in his mercy and in his faithfulness. Because he'll never leave him nor forsake them. When you make the Lord your shepherd, you're making him your shield, and he'll also be your great reward. That's not an easy thing. I said, when you choose to allow God to fight your battles for you, that's not a very easy thing to do. But when you do that, what you're doing is that you're acknowledging his lordship over you. You're taking that place of humility. That's why he will be your what? Your, not your reward, but your great reward. Because it's a great thing for you to try to submit yourself to when you know you have to teach somebody a lesson. Do we have any teachers of lessons in the house? But you choose to humble yourself. When you get to that place where you say, it's no longer I, but the Christ in me. Yes. It's just about getting to that place where we die to ourselves. Because when we die, then we can reign with him. That's when you reign, you become a co-heir. That's why you can inherit. Yes. You can't inherit if you're not an heir. I want to tell you something. I want to let you know that when we talk about meekness, the meek, it's not like righteousness that you can just custom make for yourself. Meekness is not a it's really not a moral virtue. It's not. It's evidence of the Spirit of God. That's what it is. It's a manifestation of God's Spirit in the people of God. Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do men say I am? And when Peter answered that he is Christ, the Son of God, he told him what? He said, it's not by flesh and blood that was revealed to you. It was by the Spirit. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about here. Manifestation of God's Spirit. That is by that Spirit that you can go back to the scripture we started with, and you can really say, just like Peter said, the Lord is God. Yes. When you get to the place where that can just come, not just from your lips, but from your attitudes. Yes. When you get to that place, then it is he who made us and we are his. Yes. When you get to that place, you will begin to understand why he says we are his, yes. His people, yes. Sheep of his pasture. Yes. He's not just a shepherd. Yes. This is the King of Kings we're talking about. Right. That's powerful to me. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God so much that the things of Christ are not the things we fight for. You don't have to be powerful. You don't have to be ferocious. You don't have to be agile. You don't even have to be cute. You really don't. That thing that you look at as your weakness that thing that one way or the other keeps you humble. That maybe even if that thing is corrected or removed, you might be out there trying to run with the lions. You will forget who you are. You'll forget your identity.
Yes.
That's really what's attractive to God.
Yes.
It's those things that we resent about ourselves. It is God who made us and not we ourselves. He made us for a reason. He made us for a purpose. You cannot begin to chase somebody else's dreams and visions and try to be like somebody that you're not.
Amen.
You will lose yourself. You will lose your identity.
My God.
So regardless of where we are today, all we want to know is why not sheep?
Yes.
What's wrong with being a sheep?
My God.
Especially in God's pasture.
Amen.
What's wrong with being God's people?
Amen.
Sometimes we're led to believe that, you know, just from how people, how the enemy used people to accuse us, to say things about us, try to bring us down, try to move us and shift us out of where we are.
Jesus.
So that we can be like the world. So that we can begin to enjoy the things that will eventually kill us. We're trying to kill this flesh. We're not trying to sustain this flesh.
Amen.
Because this tabernacle will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
God cannot fill us up until we empty ourselves.
Amen.
You cannot hold something and keep expecting something.
My God.
Why not sheep?
My Lord.
Why not sheep? Yes, lion, to be a lion is attractive. Yes, it will be cool to do some things, but you know that you're not made for that. Perhaps that used to be you or that used to be me, but I'm no longer who I used to be. I no longer belong to myself. I'm now a sheep in the pasture of God. God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.